When You Smile, written and played by vibraphonist Roger Beaujolais. Now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Julian Joseph and Jazz Lineup.
Hello. Well, exciting news to start today's show. The jazz nominations have been announced for the 60th Grammy Awards. Amongst them, a brilliant singer featured before on the show. Her name is Jazmaya Horn, and she's up for, deservedly, Best Vocal Album. Stay tuned for details of other nominees after we hear this from Jazmaya, East of the Sun and West of the Moon.
East of the Sun, West of the Moon, dear, we're gonna build a dream house of love, dear, closer to the sun in the day, near to the moon at night. We'll live in a lovely way, dear, living our love in the pale moonlight, you and die. We'll keep it that way. Up among the stars, we'll find a harmony of life to a lovely tune. East of the sun, west of the moon, dear. East of the sun and west of the of the sun, west of the moon, dear, we're gonna build a dream house of love, dear, closer to the sun in the day, near to the moon at night. We'll live in a lovely way, dear, living our love in the pale moonlight, you and I. Forever in a day, love will not die. Keep it that way. Up among the stars, we'll find a harmony of life to a lovely tune. East of the sun, west of the moon, dear. East of the sun, west of the moon. Do 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 the sun, west of the moon, dear, east of the sun.
The runaway winner of the Thelonious Monk Institute International Jazz Competition in 2015, the Texas-born vocalist Jazmaya Horn, who's been nominated for Best Vocal Album for the 60th Grammy Awards. And we heard her expert and original reading of the standard East of the Sun and West of the Moon from her album A Social Call, out on the recently revived Prestige label. Now there's a jazz singer. Also nominated in that category are The Journey, and that's from The Baylor Project, Badass and Blind from Raoul Maidon, Porter Plays Porter from Randy Porter Trio with Nancy King, Dreams and Daggers from Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, and good luck to them all. Other jazz categories include Best Improvised Solo, Chris Potter, who you may have heard recently on Jazz Lineup, and Yorkshire-born guitar legend John McLaughlin are both nominated in that category, alongside violinist Sarah Caswell and pianist Billy Charles and Fred Hirsch. Other categories include Best Jazz Instrumental Album, Best Large Ensemble, and Best Latin Jazz Album. And for full details, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page, and the winners will be announced on January the 28th, 2018, at Madison Square Gardens in New York. Good luck to all the nominees. Well, coming up on today's show, a performance recorded at the Tamperay Jazz Happening, featuring spirit-flowing tenor sax legend Charles Lloyd, a man at the helm of bands with drummer Chico Hamilton and alto master Cannonball Adderley in his early years, to launching the careers of piano superstars Keith Jarrett, Michele Petrucciani, and a whole host of others. Looking forward to that. And also, I'll have the latest mix of new releases. A major guitarist who emerged in the 1980s, the Monks' Terence Blanchard, the Marsalis' Kenny Kirkland and Mulgrew Miller, is Kevin Eubanks, who, after setting alight the New York scene, moved to the West Coast to take over the Tonight Show Band from previous leader Branford Marsalis. And I'm happy to say jazz has his full attention again, and he's released the excellent East-West Timeline, featuring lineups from both the East and West Coasts of America. Drummer Marvin Smitty Smith and bassist Rene Camacho feature from the West Coast contingent, with veteran musical heavyweight, previously with the Jazz Messengers and Tony Williams' quintet, Bill Pierce is on tenor saxophone. And this is Take the Coltrane. Thank you. Take the Coltrane from guitarist Kevin Eubanks' wonderful album out on the Mac Avenue label. Well, we heard earlier from Jazmaya Horn, who's been nominated for a Grammy, and staying on the theme of awards, huge congratulations go to UK drummer and bandleader Moses Boyd, winner of the Best Jazz category at this year's MOBOs, the Music of Black Origin. And another honoured was Gregory Porter, who was given a MOBO for outstanding contribution to music. Gregory also launched a brand new TV series, Popular Voices, on BBC4, which you can check out via the BBC Music Jazz portal, which brings you to the best of the jazz content across the BBC, radio, TV, and online. And you can find that link on the Radio 3 website. Well, here's Gregory with his take on a piece that, incidentally, was pop icon Michael Jackson's favorite composition. Composed by Charlie Chaplin, this is Smile.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fears and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness, hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile. The time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile.
Gregory Porter from the album Nat King Cole and Me, finding his own interpretation of one of a catalogue of songs immortalised by the great Nat King Cole. And that was Smile, with luscious orchestral accompaniment arranged by Vince Mendoza. In addition to having a rhythm section that boasts Reuben Rogers on bass and Ulysses Owens on drums, trumpeter and maestro Terence Blanchard makes a guest appearance on several tracks. Well, you may have caught our performance with Terence last week. If not, it's still available via the iPlayer radio app. And remember, you can download Jazz Lineup for up to 30 days after broadcast and enjoy it wherever you go. Now, as promised, here's a taster of Charles Lloyd, recorded at the Tampere Jazz Happening in Finland. Before we hear the music, here's Charles Lloyd talking about the formation of his first classic quartet from an archive interview in 2007 from Radio 3's Jazz Library.
Well, first, when I left Cannonball in 65, I started playing in New York with a pool of local great jazz musicians, you know, Herbie Hancock and Roy Haynes and Pete LaRocca, Ron Carter, Richard Davis. Just a lot of great musicians. So I played with all of my peers, you know, those guys, Herbie, I mentioned Tony Williams. We recorded a record, of course, with Tony Williams, Ron Carter, and Gabor Szabo. And my first record, Discovery, I had Richard Davis and J.C. Moses, Roy Haynes played drums. So I started with playing, you know, with guys I liked very much. And then Jack DeJohnette was always bugging me. He wanted to play with me. He kept calling me, you know, and pestering me. And so, I mean, when I say pestering, he called me late at night, like 3 o'clock after I got home from Slugs or the Vanguard. So I'm like, hey, man, I want to play with you. And I said, gee, man, you sure going about it in a strange way. You know, he probably would have a different version of it, more sanitized or something. But that's what happened. And I remember people would tell me, oh, you shouldn't play with that guy. He's too loud and stuff, you know. But at some point, I tried Jack, you know, because he was always around when I played. And I'd heard Keith when I was playing with Cannonball. So he was living in Boston. And then later he called me. I was on the road with that band with Gabor Szabo and Pete LaRocca and Albert Stenson, and my first group that toured across country. And he called me in San Francisco. Someone said, he said he was on the road with Art Blakey, but he was unhappy and he wanted to play with me. And I said, well, I'll talk to you when I get back to New York. And I got back. And somehow, I think maybe Cecil was also one among the musicians. But it just so happened when we played together in that formation, there was a chemistry because those guys were open to, you know, when you love music, you love a lot of it. And I'm from Memphis, and I'm drawn to a lot of different kinds of music, you know. And I like music from all over the world. I'm not just locked in someplace. So I have to have musicians with broad scope and broad approaches who can dance on a lot of shores. And those guys worked well for me, as did the other players I had played with. But I started traveling with that band and developing it.
Charles Lloyd sharing his story on the formation of his quartet in the mid-1960s after leaving the Cannonball Adderley group. Well, let's now enjoy two works by Charles Lloyd and his band. First up is Prometheus, and that's followed by New Blues. The Charles Lloyd Quartet were recorded at the Old Customs House at the Tampere Jazz Happening in Finland on the 5th of November 2016, with Gerald Clayton on piano, Reuben Rogers on bass, Kendrick Scott on the drums, and Charles Lloyd on tenor saxophone and flute.
Thank you.
Charles Lloyd Quartet and New Blues. And if you want to hear more from the interview that you heard earlier, check out the Radio 3 website and you can download a special edition of Jazz Library presented by Alan Shipton. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, from a US saxophone giant in Finland to something a little closer to home and an offering from British trumpet veteran Henry Lowther. He features his band Still Waters entrusting his carefully crafted pieces to longtime collaborators Dave Green on bass, Pete Hurt on the tenor saxophone, Paul Clarvis on drums, and relative newcomer Barry Green on the piano. The music is very open and uncluttered, and this is Something Like. Thank you. Something like, from UK trumpeter Henry Lowther's Still Waters. The album is called Can't Believe, Won't Believe, and out on the Village Life label. Well, Laura Mvula is an accomplished songwriter and musician who, in her early years, was a director of a community choir. Over the last few years, she's gained a strong international reputation as a vocalist and artist of substance who stretches the boundaries of mainstream popular tastes with her thoughtful music. She's also been exploring gospel music on her Radio 2 series, God Made Me Funky. Here she is, featured on the current Jazz Loves Disney collection, amongst an array of stars including Jamie Cullum, Bebel Gilberto, and George Benson, performing musical selections from the well-loved Disney films. On a lullaby made famous by Julie Andrews in Mary Poppins, this is Laura Mvula with Stay Awake.
Stay awake, don't rest your head, don't lie down upon your bed while the moon drifts in.
Laura Mvula and Stay Awake from the second volume of Jazz Loves Disney, A Kind of Magic. Well, time in a moment for some more musical magic from saxophonist Charles Lloyd and his quartet. But before we return to our special concert set, here he is speaking about his influences, rhythm, strength, and tenderness, again, from the Jazz Library interview in 2007.
You know, I grew up playing with those really strong blues guys like Howlin' Wolf and Johnny Ace and Bobby Blue Bland and stuff. But actually, my real heroes were Phineas and the jazz guys in the Memphis community. But the drummers that always moved me the most had that kind of visceral thing, yet they were forward-thinking, or they were modernists, you know? I mean, if you think about, they weren't just straight four guys, you know? I mean, like my first record, I had Roy Haynes on it. On the second record, there was young Tony Williams, who was 19 at the time. And I like that explosive quality that these guys have. And yet, I also like that they can be very tender. You know, we play ballads. Billy can be very tender. I don't know what to say in defense of that. You would say, why does a guy who play like you have those guys? Well, there's a strength in my playing also, I think, you know.
Oh, certainly.
If I stop and think about it, the great masters of the tenor saxophone, I mean, I sat at the feet of Coleman Hawkins, like I'm sitting with you now in the back of the Vanguard all the time. And I loved him very much, and he was like a saint to me. You know, he'd be sitting there drinking his scotch, but he'd be looking at me. You know, he wouldn't be saying much, but it was like he was imparting something. And I sat around these guys, you know, and I was around Monk and Mingus in New York, Train, of course, and Bill Evans. And so I think that I absorbed so much. It was a beautiful time for me, the 60s. My best friend was Booker Little. I'd grown up with him in Memphis. Great trumpeter. He died far too young for me. I mean, who can say who goes too young? I remember when Clifford Brown died. That was his great hero. And Clifford was 25, and I remember Booker was about, we were about both about 18 or 19. And Booker said, why couldn't it have been me? I mean, he has such a big spirit, you know, big capacity. And when I first got to New York with Chico, I was really ready to jump off into the fast lane. And Booker was ill at the time, and I was staying at the Alvin Hotel, which is where Prez used to stay. Prez is a very big hero of mine. I like the tenderness. You know, he and Lady Day, there's something of that metaphor for me, not metaphor, I mean, but something of their essence that, you know, ballads and such touch me very much. So I'm kind of a strange, a mixture. I don't know what to say.
Charles Lloyd acknowledging the elements that speak through him and his music. Next is the classic Lloyd composition Dreamweaver, which originally appeared as the title track to Lloyd's third album in 1966 and featured the all-star lineup he created with the young and feisty band he put together at the time, with Keith Jarrett on piano, Cecil McBee on bass, and Jack DeJohnette on drums. Their tenure in this band took all of their careers to new heights, and ever since, Lloyd has led successful bands whose band members have all benefited from Lloyd's musical Midas touch. Well, here is the piece, just over 50 years later, in Finland and in the hands of the Charles Lloyd Quartet 2016, and this is Dreamweaver.
Thank you.
the Charles Lloyd Quartet and Dreamweaver. Gerald Clayton was on piano, Reuben Rogers bass, Kendrick Scott the drums, and leading on tenor sax and flute, Charles Lloyd. Recorded at the Old Customs House at the Tampere Jazz Happening in Finland. For details of all the tracks featured on today's show, check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website. You're listening to Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, online, on FM and on digital, here on BBC Radio 3. Pianist Stefano Bolani is the darling of the Italian jazz community. He's a well-established virtuoso pianist, composer and bandleader who's duetted with the likes of Chick Corea, recorded excellent Gershwin with symphony orchestra and a range of other classical repertoire. He is a jazz renaissance man. His own albums reflect a collaborative spirit steeped in the ECM sound. And on his latest album, he delves deeper into his love of the classical composers with his celebrated trio and none other than the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. The album is called Mediterraneo and includes works by Rossini, Puccini, Morricone, and these two tracks composed by Monteverdi, taken from his opera L'Orfeo. This is pianist Stefano Bolani with first the miniature toccata, followed by Sinfonia.
Thank you.
The Stefano Bolani Trio and Sinfonia, preceded by Toccata from his album Mediterraneo, featuring the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. Well, we stay with the piano and the latest collection from the brain and soul of fusion maestro of the late 1970s, John Serry. His excellent early work left fans of this remarkable musician clamoring for anything they could get their hands on. And over the last decade or so, Serry has spent his most significant creative time in Europe, starting in the UK and now working between France and Italy. His music is decidedly more connected to his jazz roots, with many influences surfacing, mixed in with his most distinct musical personality. Here he is with his Italian trio on the title track, Disquisition.
Thank you.
pianist and composer John Serry from the album Disquisition. And that was the title track with Paolo Ghetti on bass and Bruno Farinelli on drums. And it's always good to hear more music from John Serry, and the album is out on the SP Co label. Well, our time's almost up. On next week's jazz lineup, a performance by the brilliant Jacob Collier. There's more jazz on Radio 3 tonight at midnight with Jeffrey Smith's Jazz, when he'll be getting into the festive mood with Yuletide treats from Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie, to name a few. And on Monday night at 11, Soweto Kinch will be paying tribute to the great Scottish saxophonist Bobby Wellens. But for now, let's finish with a taster for Jacob's set next week and a seasonal offering of In the Bleak Midwinter. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Yeah. And that was In the Bleak Midwinter by Jacob Collier, ending this week's edition of Jazz Lineup. You can join Kevin Legendre and Jacob Collier for another edition of Jazz Lineup next week at the same time of 5 o'clock. Tonight's programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade.
In Bulgaria, only an odd number of dishes may be served on Christmas Eve. Czech people forecast the year ahead using apples and walnuts. And in Finland, it's customary to visit a cemetery on Christmas Day. Here on Radio 3, it's our tradition in the run-up to Christmas to broadcast a day of festive concerts from across Europe. Enjoy old favourites. Make new musical discoveries. Christmas around Europe, tomorrow from 1 o'clock, and then available on the BBC Radio 3 website.
And this is BBC Radio 3. Good evening, I'm Chris Barrow. Now it's 6:30 and time for Opera on 3, and this evening's performance from the Met of Bellini's Norma.
We are live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, and today we bring you a magnificent bel canto tragedy, Bellini's Norma, with a powerhouse cast. Soprano Angela Mead stars in the towering title role of the Druid High Priestess. She's joined by mezzo-soprano Jamie Barton as Norma's innocent rival, Adalgisa, and Joseph Kalea as the faithless Puglione. Maestro Joseph Colinari conducts in the haunting new production by Sir David McVicar that opened the Met season in the fall. During intermission, we'll speak with our stars and we'll have a visit from the Met's general manager, Peter Gelbs. Stay with us.
And we'll be rejoining New York in a moment after their short advertising break. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. Now it's time to go back to New York for the introduction to Act One of Bellini's Norma.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, and commentator Ira Siff is here with me for Bellini's Norma. Ira, this opera has a certain mystique, and a lot of that is because of the title role. It's simply one of the most notoriously difficult parts, period, isn't it?
It certainly is, and we'll hear that within the first 15 minutes of her music leading into the iconic aria Casta Diva. She has to deliver powerful declamatory phrases, long legato lines, florid passages.
Well, and sopranos who can handle these demands are few and far between. We think of names like Maria Callas and Joan Sutherland.
And the vocal demands are tied to the dramatic intensity of the role, which never lets up. The opera can have a profound emotional impact. You know, even Wagner said it makes you weep.
Yes. So let's talk about the story. A little background, it takes place in ancient Gaul under Roman occupation. The people are led by the Druid high priestess Norma, but she's betrayed them and broken her vows. She's secretly had an affair with the Roman proconsul Puglione, and they've even had 2 children. Act One opens with Norma's father, the chieftain Orvezzo, leading the Druids in a prayer for revenge against the Romans. Then Puglione arrives in secret, but not to see Norma. He's fallen in love with her disciple, the novice priestess Adalgisa. He fears Norma's revenge. He has an aria here as he tells a friend about a terrifying nightmare he had of a phantom arising to punish him and Adalgisa.
But Puglione snaps out of his reverie as the gong signals Norma's approach, and he declares that love will protect him. This is a bold cabaletto with a swaggering feel to the music.